Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, today we're covering a few of the biggest headlines in the economic and financial world, which have been quite a few lately. And this will help you get a better handle on the different ways that these stories might impact your financial future. So we're going to listen to a few quotes. We're going to talk about the recent news and see if we can't put together a plan, a roadmap for how to proceed.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin, a fiduciary investment advisor representative. You'll find him at Silverleaf Financial. He's been helping folks for more than 30 years getting to and through retirement. SilverleafFinancial.com is the website. Kevin, yeah, we have got lots to discuss today.
Oh, there's lots of things happening. We're in the middle of a big, big earnings season. So all the companies, you know, everybody that's a public company is seemingly coming out with the quarterly earnings reports now. And that is really the big news, in addition to, of course, you know, the Federal Reserve.
Right. And again, the Federal Reserve, that so Jerome Powell was talking yesterday about what's going on. Let's kind of get an overview.
I'm not dealing really in likelihoods. I think there are paths that the economy can take that would involve cuts, and their paths that wouldn't. And I don't have great confidence in which of those paths. I think my personal forecast is that we will begin to see further progress on inflation this year. I don't know that it will be sufficient. I don't know that it won't. I think we're going to have to let the data lead us on that.
Okay. I mean, was that confusing or is that just me?
Well, it doesn't. Doesn't really give you much direction on that one, does it?
No, sure doesn't.
No, I do understand, and I'm not trying to cover for, the chief there, Jerome Powell, because the data, it changes, right? It fluctuates, and we don't know exactly. And he's talking about, you know, unemployment data, jobs claims, you know, obviously all the different indicators of inflation. And so we don't know exactly which way we're going to go. But I think he's genuine in the fact that, you know, he doesn't have a predetermined route he's going to take. And,
right.
You know, and there's so many people that were calling, if you go back to the beginning of the year, you know, January, there were so many people on Wall Street were saying, oh, we're going to have 6-7 interest rate cuts this year. And some of us, including me, as we talked about it earlier in the year, I've never felt we were going to see that many cuts because I didn't see any reason why we needed them. I didn't see any evidence of why we needed them.
Right.
And so I think if you look now, there are some areas, that seem to be slowing down. The growth is still strong, though. And regardless of what you might hear on some of the so-called news stations, the economy is doing well on an overall basis. I will admit, I'm sure the people at the lower end of the income scale are probably having some trouble paying their bills. We're seeing higher delinquency rates come in, higher, you know, we measure some of the data that comes out is how many people are late. You know, 30, 60, 90 days late with their credit card payments. And we are seeing an uptick on the lower end of the income scale in regards to people being late with their payments. So there is certainly some truth to some people, you know, feeling the impact more than others. But generally speaking, the middle class and definitely the upper class is not having trouble at all. Everything is perfectly fine. And as long as they have a job, I believe that's going to continue. So in my mind, the first sign that we would see of things really starting to slow down are going to be an increase in the layoffs, you know, announced layoffs. We'll see an increase in unemployment, and we'll see an increase in people filing, you know, jobless claims. And so far, those things haven't happened.
Right. And again, until they do, that things are going to be the same.
You know what? In my opinion, they will be the same. And I think that the other factor that came into play is a lot of people, because at the same time, these economists were forecasting, you know, for the economy to slow down and to go into recession. Some people were talking about a hard landing where we really lose a massive amount of jobs. Unemployment really would tick up very hard. And for the record, guys, we are still below 4% on unemployment. And this is the longest stretch. We're almost at the longest stretch going back to World War II. We've had 28 months in a row now of unemployment below 4%. One of the longest stretches in history under President Biden. For whatever that's worth, that's what's going on, guys. So take a look around. When you hear some news, do yourself a favor and double check it, triple check it, and make sure you're looking on both sides of the aisle. We all know there are news stations out there on television that, you know, I just call them the anti-Biden station, because everything that's wrong in the world is Biden's fault. If your wife is pissed at you, I'm sure it's Biden's fault. If your dog pukes on the rug, I'm sure it's Biden's fault. All right? So they're obviously on one side of the aisle, and then you've got other stations on the other side. So do yourself a favor and listen to all of them. And that way you're going to hear the commentary, you know, and you can hopefully weed out the politics that's behind it. But as far as the economy goes, we're still under 4%. Which is a very, very strong economy. And I think that the issue with inflation is all the money that was printed by the government, both in this administration and the previous administration, all that money is still, you know, sloshing around out there. That, I believe, is what's causing the inflation. And so in a lot of ways, it's good. It's creating jobs, right? We got a bunch of money for new fabs, chip fabricators in Arizona. So people in Arizona should be very happy with the administration for bringing over 20,000 new jobs to Arizona.
So I saw this in the Wall Street Journal today. Job seekers say it's harder to get hired than the labor market makes it seem. White-collar workers hunting for work complain about hiring managers who ghost them, draw out the interview process, listings that never get filled, and recruiters acknowledge uncertain economic outlook is a factor for employers and confirm the theories that companies are now pickier than they've been in a long time.
Yeah, I think that makes sense with a slowing economy.
And
if you look back, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, there was this whole, like, it was like a job roulette wheel or something that you had all these people job hopping. They would go to one job for 5 or 6 months, and then they'd seemingly find another job that's going to pay them an extra 10, 20, 30 grand a year, you know, and they would split. And,
yep.
And it was really a workers market, if you will. That there were so many companies that were hiring, willing to pay very good wages, that people didn't have any trouble getting hired. And so I think now we're back into more of a realistic, a more of a normal environment. I think it was very abnormal when you could stay at a job for just a matter of months and go someplace else and get such a big raise.
Right.
And also we have anecdotal evidence coming out from companies like Meta that went through beginning of the year or several months ago. They had this whole, you know, come to Jesus moment. Where a lot of the investors were saying, you guys need to get your act together. Stop spending so much money on the metaverse, right? And then they announced that they're laying off tens of thousands of people, and then they announced through that information, they announced a lot of these people, they didn't even know what the heck they were doing all day. So they're basically paying them 200 grand a year to sit around and BS with their neighbor in the cubicle next door. So
I want that gig,
right? That's what I said. I would like that job. And there are interviews. They're not interviews, but videos on TikTok. People that used to work there that said they were paying me $280,000 a year. I really did like 1 hour work a day. And I'm saying, you know, and I'm saying, first I said I'd like a job like that, and then second I said, you know, it can't be long before these guys are going to get cut, right? And so that's what's happening. So to me, it's like a right sizing, if you will. I think a lot of companies got overly bloated. And they hired more people than they needed. And so now we're streamlining a little bit. We're getting leaner, which has been very good for Meta. The stock is one of the best performers this year. And, you know, so I think there's a lot of that out there, but I think to me, it seems like the economy is just cooling off, which is what we want. And really, the reason why, guys, that the Federal Reserve has not started cutting interest rates is because the economy is doing just fine. That's the reality. The economy is doing just fine. The truth is, when they start to cut rates, that means they're seeing an economy that's slowing down. And it's not necessarily, that's the other thing that's always puzzled me, is it's kind of like a bad news is good thing, meaning it's not good. It's not, you know, to me, the economy slowing down and people losing jobs would be bad news.
Sure.
But the market spins it around and says, no, that means the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates, which means risk assets are that much more attractive. In other words, people are more inclined to buy stocks, aka risk assets, when interest rates are down, because you just can't make much money with bonds or bank CDs or interest rates or anything like that. So many investors will turn to stocks and buy more stocks, take on more risk, because there's not really another alternative. That's the old TINA acronym.
Sure.
Right? There is an alternative. So I think that's where we are.
Well, and again, you set this up great because this goes right into a clip from David Kostin. He's the U.S. equity strategist for Goldman Sachs. And he was on CNBC's Squawk on the Street talking about the market and shares his forecast with what he thinks the future will hold.
What are we seeing now for the first quarter results? We're about 16% of the way through earnings season. We've seen thus far most of the companies, about 65% of the companies, have actually beat consensus expectations on the bottom line, and about a third have beat expectations on the top line. What that suggests to us is that companies are able and have been demonstrating the ability to kind of squeak over a little bit margin, and margin is basically hold there until a little bit higher. There was some desire to try to raise prices, but it didn't get that strong indication there's a lot of inflation coming. So our forecast is that the market rises slowly in line with expectations for earnings.
Seems pretty positive.
It does seem positive, and I was glad to hear it. I always like it when they confirm what I'm thinking, and so that's always gives you a good vibe, you know.
Yeah, right.
But one of the things that I touched on briefly earlier was that at the beginning of the year, you know, that let's remember the market moves on expectations and sentiment. So, you know, how is everybody feeling? Or is everyone feeling like taking risks? Is everybody negative? Is everybody positive? Those things play a big part in the short term movements of the market. And at the beginning of the year, a lot of analysts were forecasting earnings to slow down and not to keep growing at the same pace that they have been in the past. And what's happened is companies have been surprising to the upside, meaning that their earnings are growing faster than they were expecting, which is what Kostin just mentioned, that 65% of the companies, I think he said, are beating the earnings estimates. And so that's a really good number, guys. Two-thirds of companies are coming in higher than expectations for estimates. And it tells you that they're doing well. They're growing business. They're growing revenue. And they're bringing it to the bottom line. He mentioned also expanding profit margins. These are all good things. And I think that there's a lot of good signs out there. You want to make sure you understand what you're investing in. And so if you're not the type of person that likes to do research and likes to read about these things and follow them, and guys, it's not just one time. Investing is an ongoing study. You have to stay on top of it because things can change very quickly. And so if you're not a person that likes to do that, enjoys doing it, you're probably a really good candidate to work with an advisor. And I would suggest to reach out to a couple of us. Let's sit down and talk and see if we can't put something together that'll help you hit your goals.
800-975-6717 is how you can get started, folks. Reach Kevin directly there, or you can reach him via the website, silverleaffinancial.com. He's got a link on that homepage. You can email him directly there, silverleaffinancial.com. So Mr. Kostin was talking, he mentioned two things, top line and bottom line. Give me an idea what that means. I mean, I think I know what it means, but what does it mean?
Oh, sure. Top line is sales, your overall revenue.
Okay,
Bottom line is going to be the earnings that you bring to the bottom line. After you've paid, you know, all your expenses, your admin expenses and everything, I paid your lease on your building and all that good stuff.
Okay.
And so when you see the top line growing a little bit slower than the bottom line, what it means, which is what he was implying or inferring, is that they're expanding their operating margin. And what that means is that for that, they're squeezing out a little bit more profit on every dollar of sales. That's what that means.
Or
you could say they're getting more efficient, or they're streamlining, right? They're bringing more money to the bottom line. So every dollar of sales, if you could bring, you know, 10 cents to the bottom line instead of 8 or 9, then you're expanding your profit margin and you're doing a better job of running an efficient business. And these are all good signs. So personally, I think there's a lot of good news out in the market, out in the economy. I feel like the U.S. still is continuing to be the best market in the world. I do think there are attractive opportunities in Europe and other places. But the U.S. has got the best economy, guys, and we're chugging right along. And so it's thanks to the American workers, that's what's doing it. And so I say to stay the course, take advantage of any weakness to add to your quality positions. That's what you want to do. Buy them when they're on sale.
Well, okay, that brings us to Jamie Dimon. We've heard from him before. He is J.P. Morgan Chase Chair and CEO. He was at the Economic Club of New York last week. Dimon weighed in on the state of our economy, and he, too, remains very optimistic.
The American consumer, even if we go into a recession, is much wealthier than before. Debt service ratios are very low. They're normalizing now, and credit is, we say it's normalized. It's not gotten worse. But they have, it's still the lowest it's ever been pretty much on record. Their home prices are up, their stock prices are up. Remember, 50% of people don't owe money at all. And so even if we go to a recession, the consumer's in good shape. But that doesn't mean you can fight off the effects of stagflation or something like that if it gets much worse.
Okay, so we mentioned stagflation there at the end. So let's kind of back into that, if you don't mind.
Sure, sure. And you know what? That's one other thing. If you guys have a chance, you can look from Jerome Powell, again, the boss at the Federal Reserve, central bank, if you will. Jerome Powell, one of the things he said yesterday in his press conference, they always have the meetings on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So it's a two-day meeting that culminates with an announcement that usually comes out at 2 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. And one of the things he said in his comments is that, guys, I'm not seeing the stag or the inflation. All right? So I kind of thought that was a funny line.
That is a funny line, yeah. Well, especially coming from him.
Especially, right? Exactly. And to remind you guys that might not be familiar or might not be on the tip of your tongue, stagflation means stagnant growth with inflation, which is not good. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. Because what it means is the growth of the economy is slowing down, but it means that prices are still going up at a rate faster than we want to see. And so it's not a good mix. It's not a good scenario. And so it's very reassuring that Powell said he's not seeing either the stag or the inflation. It's another very good feedback, another good point that he made. Now it is something obviously that we talked about. It can always change, but right now the economy we're hitting on all cylinders, and I think everything looks really good. And I think, by the way, if interest rates stay right where they are, I think that's fine. I don't see a problem with that at all.
He also said 50% of Americans don't have any debt. That's good news.
Oh, it is, yeah, and it's fantastic news. And you know what? I've always said I think that's a great goal for everybody, to have no debt at all, no mortgage, no car loan, no credit card debt, because then you're not making the bankers rich. That's how the bankers got rich. That's how Dimon became, you know, he's a multi-billionaire.
Sure.
All right? If you guys ever look at the interest income that these banks make, and interest income, that's the difference between what they charge you when you borrow money through a loan or a credit card, and what they actually pay you when you deposit your money in the bank. And they got they call it the net interest income or NIM. And so my point is, the banks are making billions of dollars on these interest charges. That means it's coming out of consumers' pockets, right?
Of course.
And so if you can get out of debt, eliminate that debt, that means you've got that much more money that you can save for your own retirement or a vacation or whatever the heck you want to do. I'm a big advocate of not having any debt, and I just think it makes life easier because you know that your bills are only going to go higher over time. So my whole objective is to get them as low as possible for everybody as they go into retirement, knowing that they're going to go higher over time. And I think that's a great way to start, is by eliminating your debt.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And again, so we're talking about really what's going on today in the market. Today's market was pretty fun. I mean, it was up all day.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? It's partly like we've been talking about earnings. We had some really good earnings. Qualcomm, one of the technology companies, they came out with really good earnings. They're a supplier, by the way, to iPhones and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Qualcomm had really good earnings. If you saw Google, or I'm sorry, now we're supposed to call them Alphabet. Pardon me. They came out with very good earnings last week. In fact, they announced a huge buyback, and they instituted it's the first time they've ever paid a dividend, and they beat earnings and revenue estimates. and the stock went down.
Personally,
I'm a buyer. I think Google has very good long-term prospects. Of course, it's volatile, and it might not be right for your situation. But I do personally feel if you can tolerate some risk, I think Google is a great stock to own long-term. I believe they're going to do very well, and I think they're one of the best technology companies, you know, in America, if not the world.
Sure, yeah. I saw that Qualcomm was leading today, and then on the downside, I saw that DoorDash was the big loser today.
Oh goodness! You know what? Let me say, I'm not as up on DoorDash's numbers. I knew they were coming out,
right?
Okay, I'll be honest with everybody. I'm really blown away how popular these delivery services are. I'm blown away how many people don't just want to just get in your car and drive and pick it up. I just don't see a big deal with that. Maybe it's because I pinch every penny, okay? And
right.
I don't want to have to spend any money on a delivery fee, and I don't want to have to tip a guy or a girl. I'll go get it myself, and I'll pocket the $5 or $10 that I would have spent on that. And I'll feel good about doing it. And so I've been surprised, because the other thing I didn't realize is, you know, they have different price lists for these items.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
If you buy it through DoorDash, your $15 cheeseburger might be $25.
Yep.
Full disclosure, I have never, ever ordered anything from DoorDash. Okay. I don't have anything delivered other than really Amazon and Walmart. And so I just didn't realize. I was reading an article about it. I had no idea that you could pay so much more for a meal because they mark up the price of the meal. They might tell you it's free delivery. It's because they're marking up the price of the sandwich or the drink,
yep,
or whatever you're buying.
Of course.
You know, so you got to look all the way through to make sure you're not getting ripped off. My suggestion, just hop in your car, go pick it up, save a few bucks, and put that in your 401k.
All right. Fair enough. BlackRock chairman and CEO Larry Fink sat down with Bloomberg, putting some light on the retirement crisis that America is having, and that's pretty much agreed upon. So he's talking with David Westman and talking about the importance of retiring with dignity.
Our entire retirement system was based on statistics that were created 50 years ago, whereby most Americans retired between 60 and 62 then, but most Americans then passed away at 67. And today, statistically, a couple 60 years old in good health, one of them is going to live over 90.
Boy, that's so true.
It is. It is very true. And in fact, there's over 50. The probabilities, guys, if you're a 65, you know, you're both 65, so a 65-year-old couple, mm-hmm, the probabilities are over 50% that one of you lives into your 90s.
Sure.
Chances are very high it's going to be the woman, right? And
yep.
And if you look at the number of centenarians, right, people over 100, it's something like, I think, 70% of them are female. And then if you look at the, I believe they call them super centenarians, those are people that turn 110.
Holy cow.
Then you're up to 80% of them are women. Guys, there's not many of us living past 110. There was a guy in the news. Last week I read the story. Guy in New Jersey just turned 110.
Yep.
It's amazing. He's living in the same house that he bought with his, you know, in 1945. Same house, right? Which is one of the ways you can make more and save more money, by the way, guys, is to stay in that same house for a long, long time. So he's in that same house. He lives alone. He takes care of himself. He still drives every day. And his kids say they check his driving all the time, and he drives better than most people.
Yeah.
And he still does his laundry, which he takes the steps down to the basement to do his laundry. And then he takes the steps back up and then goes into the upstairs where his bedroom is at. So my point is, he's totally mobile, getting around. He's right. He doesn't need any devices or wheelchair. He's never had a major health problem his entire life. He says, once in a while, I get a knee ache, a sore knee or something.
At 110, I would hope so.
At 110. I'm like, my God, we need to be studying this man. They need to be studying him, and they need to be cloning him.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like, I want
give
his
me some of that DNA.
I want that DNA.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just an amazing, amazing story. And so, you know what, as you're planning for retirement, if you have longevity in your family, then we definitely want to talk, okay? Because that's one of the key factors you look at when you're trying to determine when you want to claim your Social Security. If you have long, life expectancy in your family, you know, parents, siblings, grandparents, if you have a history of people in your family living, let's say, past 90, I really think you should project and estimate and set your retirement plan as though you will also have that long life. Okay. Because none of us want to run out of money, you know, later in life after you've been retired for 15 years. I can't imagine a worse scenario, a more frightening scenario, to be honest, than going through that. So make sure you look at longevity in your family. Obviously, none of us know, when our expiration date is, I guess. You know, and that's one of the hard parts of planning, because we have to make all these projections, right? What's your average return going to be? How much inflation is it going to be? How much are you going to pay in taxes? How long are you going to live? There's a lot of things that come into it. That's why we want to be conservative, because maybe you didn't anticipate that the price of a McDonald's chicken sandwich would be up 200% in 10 years. But it is, right?
But it is, yes.
But it is. And if you look back, there was a story the other day on McDonald's prices, and it literally has tripled since 2014. So some things have really gone up in price. We all know that. And if you don't budget for that before you retire, and now you've been retired for several years and you're on a fixed income, that could pose a big problem. So we want to be very careful with those projections.
Sure. So I mentioned at the beginning I had a story I was just going to spring on you. Let's do that. We talk often about an emergency fund and how important it is, right?
Yes, definitely.
This is a cautionary tale. This happened in North Carolina. A little girl, 3 years old. Sitting down with mom and dad, going to watch Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
All right, love the movie. But the little girl at 3 said, you know what, I think there might be monsters in my room. Mm. So mom says, we even gave her a bottle of water, told her it was monster spray so that she could spray away all the monsters. So, okay. You know, she's 3. She bought it.
Sure. I would too.
Exactly. So she goes to bed and gets up and she says, I think there's something in the closet. Well, they don't believe her, and they don't check. And then months.
Really? Okay.
Mom then sees some bees outside the house near the chimney. Mm. And she goes up to the room and can hear something, calls a bee guy, and the bee guy comes in and does an infrared on the wall. 60,000 bees.
Oh, my God. In the kid's room.
In the kid's room.
Oh, my God.
60,000. Bees.
Wow.
And you can't kill them because they're honeybees. So, you know, a big section of the house had to get disassembled. Plus, they had to do rewiring. And the kicker is not covered by insurance.
I can't say that I'm surprised it's not covered by insurance. But I didn't know you couldn't kill honeybees, actually.
That's a rule.
Is it really?
In America, yeah, that's a rule.
I had no idea. So Christy Noem can kill her dog in South Dakota, but you can't kill a honeybee in North Carolina.
No, can't do it. Well,
okay.
Anyway, so $20,000 to fix it.
Oh, my gosh. 20 grand?
$20,000 to fix the house. So when I say that's why you have an emergency fund, because you talk out of left field. Holy cow.
Oh, my gosh. And there's a lot of lessons in that story, Steve.
Sure enough.
I mean, you know, parents, you know, take your kids seriously a little sooner next time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, that little girl is really lucky. I think she's lucky she's still alive. Can you imagine if that swarm attacked her?
Because at some point they're going to get through the wall.
They're going to get through the wall, and if the queen is around, you might have a problem.
Oh, yes, indeed.
You know, and so there is no question. Now, hopefully nothing like that will happen to anybody else. But guys, yeah, the emergency fund, that is the very first thing that should be taken care of. I mean, when you're in your 20s and you get your first, you know, real job, you should be looking to set up an emergency fund. That's the first thing, because we all know crazy stuff happens. Your car breaks down. Something breaks in your house or your kitchen or whatever it might be. Any number of things could happen. Or if you've got grown kids, you know what? Any time of day or night, they could call you up and say some crazy thing happened and they need to, you know, borrow some money from you.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So all sorts of things will be tugging at your purse strings.
Well,
be careful. Yes. Make sure you got that emergency fund set up.
So, Kevin, you're a Diamondback fan, right? You're a baseball guy.
Yeah.
That was quite a story.
Oh, with the bees, yeah.
Yeah, with the bees. I just, you know, we're kind of buzzing here.
Right? Delayed game because of bees.
Yeah, a B delay. I heard the announcer say that.
Yes.
So funny.
A B delay, not a rain delay. A B delay.
Yeah. B delay. So no. How? I mean, you know, yeah. And the to me, the funnest, the most fun part of this is they bring the guy in. I forget what they called him. He had a great name, not his personal name, but what he called himself.
Okay. Okay. The exterminator
like
guy.
Something like that. Yeah. But he got to throw out the first pitch.
Oh, there you go. That's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that. But you know what? Hey, I think that's good. I'm sure everybody was happy that he took care of the bees. So.
And between you and me, he killed them.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess he didn't, you know. Maybe they weren't honeybees.
I don't think they were. No. Yeah. I mean, it seems funny to me that bees would congregate, you know, behind home plate in a baseball field.
Oh, God. Well, actually, you know, something I've learned since living in Arizona is that it happened. Okay, in my community, I live in a retirement community. We've got 7 golf courses.
Yeah.
Some of the golf course maintenance people were stung by attacks by bees to the point that he had to go to the hospital. Okay.
Oh, wow.
There were so many of them swarming him. He was on the ground. And other people had to come up with blankets and things to try to get the bees off of him. They called paramedics and they took him to the hospital. And he's okay. He's okay. But then the community had to hire, you know, professional bee killer, I guess, to come out and take care of it. So I never realized it until I moved to Arizona. But it does come up on a actually a fairly regular basis.
Wow. Huh. Interesting.
I don't really know why, but it does.
Yeah. So let's see. We're wrapping up for us, Kevin. We're feeling this was a very positive show, and I think we put out some very positive good news.
You know what? That's what I wanted to do. I'm trying to let everyone know, guys, that in a lot of areas that you look, the markets are doing well. The economy is doing well. And people have a job. Record numbers of people still have their jobs. Wage growth is still very good. So to me, there's a lot of good signs out there. I feel good about the market. Don't get me wrong. There are certainly things that could derail it. We all know that there's a big election coming up here. There's also more elections going on around the world than I think any time in the last 100 years. So it's something like more than half the world's population is going to be electing somebody new this year.
Whoa.
So there's a lot of things going on. Obviously, there's always risks out there, right? We've got the whole China-Taiwan thing, Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Iran and in the Middle East. So there's a lot of issues. So if you want to protect your money and keep some of it safe, give me a call. I can show you how you can make 8% right now. There are some bonds that are paying 7-8% that are AAA bonds. Now, they do have some risk, but nowhere near as much as a stock. Or, one last thing real quick, there's now an exchange-traded fund that offers you 100% downside protection and gives you 9% upside on a one-year investment.
Sign me up.
So if you'd like to talk about some ways you can protect your money and still have decent growth potential, just give me a call.
Sounds great, Kevin. I'm going to remind everyone of the number, 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717. So you a Derby guy? You're going to, watch the horse race?
You know what? I've been to it a couple times. I always like it. I always like it.
Oh, yeah.
If for nothing else, just looking at the women in their hats.
Exactly. And enjoying a mint julep.
Enjoying a mint julep. Yes, definitely, yes. Guys. Check it out. Listen, I hope you find the
information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.